Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Hi everybody, and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com, and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, thanks everybody for downloading the podcast, watching the video on YouTube, or you may even be watching it live, because I've actually started to record and transmit live as I do it, and I've kind of fine-tuned my setup now, so it actually looks okay. It's not broadcast quality, it's not really good quality, but it's okay. If I ever get to a situation where I'm capable of planning when I'm going to be doing my podcasts pretty much to a decent schedule, then what I might be able to do is then invite other people along, and we can all take part in a nice discussion. But as it is, I have to kind of squeeze the podcasts in when I can. So Suzanne's at work at the moment, Oliver's upstairs doing revision, so I've grabbed my laptop, grabbed my webcam, grabbed my headset, and it's time to record another podcast. So I hope everybody's been okay, and I was going to say enjoying the weather, but I don't know about the rest of the world, but in the UK we've had a pretty rough time of it, especially in the south of England over the last couple of months, since Christmas really. There has been torrential downpours around here on the south coast. Over in Somerset there's been horrendous floodings. I mean, it's been great at work because we do sell a lot of kind of flood recovery equipment like pumps and generators. But for the poor souls whose houses have been flooded, it's been not been very, very nice at all. I know over in the States it's been incredibly cold as well, haven't it? Around the New York area. So, you know, shouldn't grumble too much. What I've been up to, well, I've been putting an awful lot of information up onto the YouTube channel on this mobile phone that I've been given by HTC to play around with, which is the HTC One Max. I've also been doing a few Canon 600D videos, and I've been really proactive this year at trying to get out whenever I've got a spare few minutes on these mini little photo walks, especially at lunchtime at work. So the other day I jumped in the car at lunchtime and went to a place called Farlington Marshes, which I hadn't been to before, but basically it's almost like a spit that sticks out into the sea, very low lying, and there's some wildlife there, and you know, some interesting scenes. It was a very grey day though, very cold. I wore my coat, but I forgot my hat and my gloves, so when I got there and jumped out of the car and was walking about 5 minutes, I thought, well, this is a little bit cold, but I'm looking forward to going back there. And when I was kind of driving past there, there was some interesting bridges and motorway overhangs that I think I'll take some pictures of. I also, the other day, had to take a letter to the town hall in Gosport, and on the way, you know, I whipped out my camera and took lots of different photos of Gosport High Street as well, which is quite interesting, because one of my photo projects this year will be doing a project on the main road that goes out of Gosport all the way up through Fareham and then heads north, because a lot of my projects this year are going to be based around roads, not just pictures of roads but the places around roads, because I figure with me I don't have that much time for photography, but when I do I need to jump into the car and go somewhere. So what could be better than basing a project around roads, because I can just drive somewhere, jump out of the car, take some photographs, drive on a little bit more, take some other photographs, and do that. So so that should be really, really cool. So, so the HTC One Max smartphone. I've had my Galaxy Nexus, my Google phone, for 2 years now, and it's kind of been time to change over. So one of the things I did was I emailed a lot of the manufacturers of Android smartphones, because you never get any review units out of Apple if you're someone like me, but HTC, Samsung, Nokia actually for one of the Windows phones, wouldn't mind having to go with one of the Lumias, and HTC emailed back, or somebody from the marketing department did, a guy called Dave, very very helpful, and they sent me a HTC Mobile back to play around with. So I've been playing around with this for the last month or so. On the YouTube channel right now, I've just completed yesterday, uploaded quite a comprehensive review of the camera on the HTC One Max, because this is a huge phone. I don't know if you've ever seen phones like the Galaxy Note 2 or the Galaxy Note 3 or the Samsung Mega, I think it might be called, but the Max is that sort of grain. It's 5.9 inches big on the diagonal, so it's a huge phone. It's got a beautiful HD display, amazing speakers, it's incredibly loud, so it's great for watching videos on, great for consuming videos, great for looking at photographs on, because the screen is so bright and so big. It has an absolutely amazing battery life. I think it has something like a 3,300 mAh battery, which means that, you know, it can go on for about 2 days on a full charge, which is unheard of, to be honest. One of the big complaints I've had about every single smartphone I've had, I mean, I've only really had two after HTC Desire and then the Galaxy Nexus, was the fact that they're great and they do lots of things, but if you're using them heavily, if you're looking at things on the internet a lot, or streaming media, or, you know, using them as they should be used, if they've got a good charge, normally by about 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they need charging again, which is always a bit of a pain, so you have to have a charger at work. Or, I mean, I've done lots of videos on YouTube about how you can keep the battery life going in your smartphone, you know, by turning features off, and kind of spoils it. But with the HTC One Max, you don't need to do that. You could leave GPS on all day, Bluetooth on all day, and you'd still get to 10:30 at night, and it would still be going strong. And in fact, on the YouTube channel as well, I have done a video about the battery life and how the fact that I couldn't get it to go flat. So very very impressed with it. Now, it is a very very large phone. I mean, it is huge. It is a phablet, so it's two-handed operation. But one of the things I was really interested in was that although it's great to consume video on, it's great to look at photographs on, it's great for editing photographs and things like that, was it any good as a camera? Because let's face it, you know, we all know that the best camera is the one that you've got with you, isn't it? But we always have our phones with us, so I think it's very important that we're happy with the phone that's on, the camera that's on our phone. And I was a bit worried with the HTC One Max because it's so big and it's aimed at being like a consumption device for things like video and photos and ebooks and all that sort of stuff, that the camera maybe wouldn't be up to it. And the other thing is that what HTC do is they use these ultra pixel cameras, so the camera in it is only 4 megapixels, which is pretty low, isn't it? You think, well, 4 megapixels, that's not much at all. However, what they do is, because it's only 4 megapixels, it can have larger sensor sites, I think they call them, so it's meant to work better in low light. But what's very interesting is that it can kind of fuse the idea of video and stills. So you can take something called a Zoe. So instead of just taking a photograph, you hold the camera up and you put it into Zoe mode, and when you press the record button, it's already been recording for a second anyway, a HD video, and then it records, I think, another 2 seconds of video. So once you've got that Zoe, it's 3 seconds, I think, of HD video, but it's also 20 stills at the full resolution, and so you can pick out the still you might want. You can then use that to create animated GIFs, action shots, remove people from images and objects, lots of really, really clever stuff. And then you can go into something called go into the video highlights, and it will automatically produce like a clip reel, which it then adds music to and special effects to make it really funky. So very exciting, very cool to do, a quick way of kind of jazzing up your photos and your videos and like. And I kind of, the long and the short of the video is that I took lots of photographs and videos with the camera. I printed out some images A4 size, so pretty big, and some little 5x7s, and the pictures look fine. Now, I did, for the A4 size images, I did edit them in Photoshop, so I kind of increased the saturation and contrast, as you would with any photograph you'd taken, even with a DSLR. and then I cropped them to the right aspect ratio for A4. But I also toned Photoshop to make sure that it was at 300 dpi, so it increased the resolution, if you like. So, and when I printed them out, they look great. So the HTC One Max's camera, more than happy with it. Yeah, it's a good phone. I've even slipped my SIM into it, so I'm going to be using it as my main phone now for the next month or so, just to give it a really in-depth review and a really in-depth test. One thing I do need to do is order a case for it, because it's quite hefty and I don't want to drop it and damage this beautiful metal body or the beautiful screen on the front. But, you know, the impression I get from lots of people about these phablet-sized large smartphones is people either love them or hate them. You know, if you've picked up a Note 2 or a Note 3 or any of these larger phones, some people go, oh, wow, how amazing. Look at that screen. Isn't it beautiful? But then other people, sometimes people who are like used to using iPhones, which are tiny compared to this, don't like them as much. But I love it because it's so big. It's great for looking at videos and photographs. Maybe it's my old eyes anyway. So, what I wanted to really talk about in this podcast, apart from the HTC One Max, which gives you a little bit of a flavour with it there, was the idea of a new assignment for us. Now, I know we're currently still doing the winter assignment, I think. Let me just go over to Flickr and just check to make sure. I think we are. We're still doing the winter assignment. Bear with me while I normally have this set up on my laptop so we can go straight there, but I forgot to start it up. Here we go. Communities, groups lists, and here we go. My apologies for this. It's running a bit slow because I'm uploading all this to Google Plus. Oh, come on, communities, take me there. Here we go, we're going to the groups. Right, here we go, rubnonphoto.com. Let's click on that bit, and then we should be able to see what it's called. I'm sure it's winter. I know I added a photo to it the other day. Here we go. So, February, March 2014 photo assignment was winter. However, there's something exciting going on. Let me just flick the screen over to screen sharing so that you can have a look at that if you're watching this on video. So here's the Robnon Photo Group. If you listen to this on the podcast, obviously just on your phone or on your computer, just go and have a look at the robnonphoto.com group over on Flickr. And the photo assignment was, and still is, until the end of the March, winter. And there's some great pictures there. Danny B's got some amazing ones of frozen bubbles. Smilo996 has got some nice frost. Rod Payne's done his dog walking in the snow. A beautiful Northern Lights Aurora Borealis by Abd VDB. And I've done one of the silhouette of a tree. But to be honest, in the UK, it hasn't actually been that cold. It's been very, very wet, but it hasn't been very, very cold. So I thought what we would do, if everybody's up for it, well, we're going to do it anyway. This is not a democracy, as they say. Is we're going to have another photo assignment that's going to run concurrently with this one. And I don't know. It's kind of, the title of this podcast is, Are You Up for a Challenge? And what it is the British magazine, Amateur Photographer of the Year. Amateur Photographer. Every year they run their competition, Amateur Photographer of the Year, and obviously 2014. And it's open to anybody in the whole of the wide world, which I thought was really, really good. And I guess probably most of the people who listen to this podcast are amateur photographers. And I thought, well, what a great way. Why don't we just go for it? Because it's a really interesting way of challenging yourself as a photographer to go out and take different images of different situations you might not normally do. Because the way it is, there's several rounds. There might be 10 rounds, I think. Let me see how many rounds there are as I come down to the bottom. Yeah, there's 10 rounds, and each round lasts a month. And then during that month, by the closing date, you need to have taken, well, as many photos as you like, but you can only send them one photograph. And then that gets judged, and I think a few weeks later in the magazine they do the winners. And for each month there's a prize, and I think Olympus are sponsoring it this year. So, for example, the first month, which the theme for it is, he says, street life. The prize is a Olympus OMD EM10 camera with a 1442 pancake zoom, a 45mm 1.8 portrait, a 40-150 zoom, and a 9mm fisheye lens, a micro adapter, and a street case. Wow, second prize is Olympus Pen EPL5 with a twin lens zoom kit. Third prize is Olympus Stylus SP100EE Ultra Zoom. How cool is that? So all you've got to do is take a photograph, and take lots of photographs, pick your best one, you send it to them, you put your name in the email, I'll go through the rules in a minute kind of thing, and then you may, you know, who knows, you might win something every month. And again, it's open to everybody over the world. I think all that happens is if you live somewhere else outside of the UK, there's a chance you might have to pay the customs charge for anything that gets sent abroad. And then at the end of the photo assignments at the end of the year, then there's an overall winner as well. Now, you know, it would be nice to win something, wouldn't it? But I just always remember that in ye olden days, many moons ago, and you may remember this if you've been listening to the Fog podcast for a very, very long time, is that I used to have a Fujifilm S5700 bridge camera. In fact, I've still got it. I think Suzanne uses it for taking pictures of stuff for eBay. Great little camera, fantastic little camera. Took beautiful photographs, really nice zoom, and it used to take care of you. You know, it wouldn't let you take a blurry image. It would always warn you about camera shake and things like that. And one of the things that kind of drove my photography while I was using that camera, and drove me to become, I think, a better photographer, is there used to be a competition, or there might still well be, I don't know, on the Fujifilm website every month, where you could enter an image, and the prize was normally one of the more expensive bridge cameras to win. And so I religiously used to enter that competition every month for several months. The closest I ever got was they actually used to publish some of the pictures on the website, like on the home screen. And once one of my public pictures came up, I thought, woohoo, I'm in with a shout, I'm going to win something. But I didn't. But anyway, but I know that, I know photography isn't about competition. You know, it's not about who being who's the best, because everybody has their own art, don't they? But there isn't, I don't think there's anything wrong with entering competitions, as long as they're free to enter. I think that's the main thing. And we can push ourselves. So I don't know. Let's go for it. I'll put a link up on the Flickr group with a new kind of assignment. I'll put some links in with the show notes for this particular podcast as well. So let me go over to Amateur Photographer's website, and we can sort of read about it. So, Amateur Photographer 2014, your chance to enter the UK's most prestigious competition for amateur photographers. Entries must be received by 5 p.m. on the closing date, blah blah blah. The competition was launched in 1997, and then the overall prize for first place was a Mamiya 645 Pro medium format camera. Woohoo! It's digital now. We received thousands of entries from all around the world, and last year saw a very high standard of submissions. However, over the 10 rounds, one person emerged as the clear winner, with Danica Profodjic from Bosnia and Herzegovina becoming 2013's Amateur Photographer of the Year. Amateur Photographer of the Year 2014 follows a similar format to last year, with 10 monthly rounds from March until December. The competition is open to all amateur photographers, and each month's round follows a theme. Please note that entrants who live outside the UK who win a prize will be liable for any local customs charges. After the closing date of each round, the entries are narrowed down to a shortlist of 50, then the top 30, and finally the top 3. Points are awarded to each image for creativity, technical excellence, and how well the image fulfills the brief. Judges are looking for original, imaginative, and well-executed pictures that explore the theme in an exciting way. The names of the top 50 photographers from each round appear on our website, along with the images for the top 50, top 30. The top 30 images are also published in the magazine at the end of the following month. After 10 rounds, the person with the most points wins Photographer of the Year. And then Olympus have given away these amazing, amazing prizes. Image size. So you can, the great thing is, I think I remember considering entering this competition a while ago, but you had to submit photos on CDs or prints. I didn't have a printer at the time. But now you can submit them via email. So all you've got to do is your image must be at least 2,700 pixels, 3,000 maximum along its longest dimension, and the file name of your image must be your first and surnames, for example, Kate Windsor JPEG. The subject line of your email message must state the round name and your name once again, e.g. Street Life, Kate Windsor. Finally, in the body of your email, include the camera model, lens and exposure details, if known, as well as a sentence describing what the image is. If your email does not meet these requirements, we will unfortunately not be able to enter in the competition. So, entrants should submit one image per round. Only entries sent to the correct email address, which is apoy@ipcmedia.com. It must be a JPEG in sRGB, and the file name should be name of surname. The subject line, include your postal address, list your body entries. Right, so there's quite a few terms and conditions that you might want to read through as well. But what excited me about this was the fact that it's open to everybody all over the world as well. Because lots of competitions you listen to on podcasts and in the media, it's like only for people in America or only for people in the UK or Germany or something. But this is open to everybody. And as we say, the first round, which is live until, let me give you the date. Let me scroll down here. So we've got until the 28th of March at 5 p.m. to email these images. And again, I'll put links in the Flickr forum so you can come out over and on robinandphoto.com. Or if you do a search for Amateur Photography of the Year 2014, it will come up. But again, the first round is Street Life. Pictures of people going about their everyday lives in cities, towns, villages and where they live. Excuse me, it says, street photography is as popular as it ever was and is easily accessible to all photographers. Even if we don't live in a street alongside other people, we almost certainly travel to and work in places where the rich tapestry of street life chugs on like a well-oiled machine. All you have to do is photograph it and show the rest of the world what happens in that location. There can be a great temptation to head to the biggest, most bustling place you can, but you don't need to. Street pictures can be shot as easily beside the quiet and seemingly empty village post office as they can among the maddening crowd that stream past the Bank of England. This round is about capturing the atmosphere of a place, and to do that, a picture needs to show that place and what goes on there. We don't have to be able to detect where the picture was taken, but we do need to get a feel for what it was like to be there and what sort of people we're likely to meet. And then there's some good examples over there where you can some good suggestions from Damien DeMolder to help get you started. And of course, use the fabulous Google image search. So just go to Google, put in great street photography, click on the images icon, and there'll be loads of stuff there to go through. So very, very exciting. I hope everybody's with me and we're going to have a crack on it. Remember, it isn't about winning really, it's about taking part. It's about getting out there and thinking, right, I need to take a load of shots this month about street life, and then I've got to email them through. I mean, if nothing happens, who gives a heck, but we'll have given it a go. Robinandphoto.com, me is that we're under no way affiliated with Amateur Photographer of the Year. And now you may be thinking, well, what's this got to do with the Flickr assignment? Well, what we could do is, I wouldn't expect anybody to upload to the Flickr forum on that particular month maybe the particular photo that they're thinking of uploading to Amateur Photographer of the Year, but maybe upload some of the others that are similar that you might want to go for. Or maybe if you want to choose which one you think is best, if you really can't decide, maybe you could upload them there and then say, look, what do people think? But personally speaking, I'll probably save the very best image that I'm going to upload, sort of private, and then upload similar images to the Flickr forum to give people an idea of what I've been doing or what I've been getting up to. So there we go. So it should be fun. You never know, we might actually win something. So that would be pretty cool as well. Okay, so that's it for the new assignment. I've actually got some questions to go through. A few sort of questions. Don't worry, there's not too many, I don't think, this particular month. Let's have a look. So what questions have we got? This one's from Kate Struthers, and it's about the Fujifilm Instax Wide 100 or 200 instant camera. And she says, I like the Instax 100. Are the pictures a little smaller for the 100? I can only find the 210 Instax Wide online. Is it the same thing as the 100? Well, Kate, yes it is. The 100, 200 and 210, basically, they're all the same camera. with a slightly different box. So just get the Fujifilm Instax Wide and happy days. Now, remember, the only real weak point about these cameras, apart from things like impact damage and water damage, is the battery compartment, because I've had quite a few from car boot sales where batteries have been left in and they've leaked. So either check it yourself before you buy it, or get the seller to check that there's no leaked batteries inside. Liz Capolingo says, "Hi, I have a Square Shooter 2, and I'd like to know where the battery goes or what kind it needs help." Now, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, Liz, that the Square Shooter 2, the film for it, isn't made anymore and you can't get it, so I wouldn't bother. I'd say get one of the other pack of cameras that they still make the film for, and that would be good. The Film Photography Project website is great. I would even suggest, if you're thinking about buying one of these type peel apart film cameras, do a Google search for Film Photography Project, go to their website, go to their shop, buy one off Mike Rasso, because he tests them, guaranteed to work, and if you have any problems, you can always send them back. The film's really cheap over there as well, and you know you're going to get something that works, because if you're buying them off people who haven't tested them or don't really know what they're doing, chances are, you know, you could get a bit of a duffer, and that wouldn't be good to anybody. Pick Scotland says, in response to one of my YouTube videos, actually this one, which was about the HDR settings for the 600D, I did a video on that, and he says, "You might want to try Magic Lantern on your camera sometime. The auto HDR feature is amazingly good. You can set any increment from a third of a stop, and the camera will automatically measure the light needs and take as many shots as required, so every pixel is not over or underexposed in at least one shot. I usually set a one-stop change and let it do its thing. Sometimes this will get 9 more shots without touching the camera again." Yeah, great thing. I mean, if anybody out there owns a Canon DSLR, I think probably past the 450D, maybe, onwards, Magic Lantern is a firmware hack, kind of, that you can upload to the camera. You just basically put it onto the SD card, and it sits on top of the firmware, so it's enables you to do all these funky things. Now, I will be getting around to having a play with Magic Lantern, because it looks very, very exciting indeed. It adds some much needed functionality to some of the, especially the video settings on the camera, and it looks really, really good, so I will be getting around to it. I just want to kind of cover all the basics first, and to be honest, I'm still early days with the camera. I've only had it for 2 and a bit months, so I'm still getting comfortable with it, and kind of making it part of my second skin, if you like, to take great photographs. But Magic Lantern will be coming, and I will be doing videos and posts about it as well. The Groovemaster 10 says, in response to another YouTube video where, I don't know if you've seen the one where I got the Canon 50mm f1.8 EF lens, for a couple of quid off somebody at a car boot sale, because it was attached to an old camera. And he says, £4, that's not a steal, that's a steal. You should be ashamed taking advantage of a little order like that. Haha. So, do you still think it's worth the investment? Say, £75, or about $125. Now, that's a great question, actually. So, is it worth spending more money to get the Mark 150 1.8 over the Mark 2, which is the one you can buy new on eBay? I would say no. Because I've had both, and I haven't really noticed any difference in the image quality between the Mark II and the Mark I. The Mark I just looks a little bit nicer, because it has the window with the distances on, and has the metal mount, so in theory, I guess it might last a bit longer. But I would say buy it, if you think about spending that much, £75 or $125, get a new one off Amazon with a year's guarantee. And then if you have any trouble with it, you can always send it back. Or save the money and get the 51.4, which is much more expensive, but it's more of a pro level lens, and work it out that way. Right, well, there we go. That's all of the questions this month. All that remains is really for me to thank everybody for taking part in the Flickr group, posting their photographs over there. Some fantastic work, as ever, goes into the group pool and taking part in the photo assignments. Thanks everybody for going over to robnerphoto.com, checking out. I love it when you leave comments, so you know, if you do go over there, just say hello, leave a comment, it really helps. And everybody for going to iTunes and leaving reviews about the podcast, that's great as well. If you can spend 5 minutes when you've got iTunes fired up, just to search for the SEL Photography Podcast and give us a little review, that is really, really cool. Thank you to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music that you'll hear when you listen to the podcast, not on the video for YouTube though. But most of all, I'd like to thank you for downloading and listening to the podcast or watching it on YouTube. It really is an honour to share this with you guys and have you guys, you take up your time, your valuable time, to listen to me talk about photography. Right, that's it for this month. Hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.